found this on Ganarum. Ganamir Ni.
What is it?
Well, it's, it's a performance.
Welcome to Synthaholics, guys. This is your host, David Duncan, and with me is...
the failed product of the eugenic wars, Aaron O'Brien.
And...
Faith Hertzberg.
Oh, man. The failed eugenics. This is like... That's horrible.
Oh, I know. It was wow. Like, did you ever see the movie Twins?
How many people died to make you if you're the failed...
No, I'm like the extra chromosomes they didn't know what to do with.
Oh.
They just shoveled them together, and so then you've out got, I came.
So you've got like 6 chromosomes?
I actually have more chromosomes than most. I'm like a potato. Potatoes have more chromosomes than humans, actually. It's true. Look it up.
Science coming right at you from Synthaholics.
Science facts!
From the future.
It only lasts so long with us.
What?
I said logic. It only lasts so long with us.
Exactly. But that's why we're here.
So, today we are talking about the classic Space Seed episode, the original episode airing in 1967, starring a young, fit, trim Ricardo Montalban as Khan Noonien Singh.
Well, hey, he was still pretty cut when he was old in Wrath of Khan.
Yeah, he was, but he was really cut.
He was super cut when he got more cut as he got older.
Yeah, I guess he was a bodybuilder his whole life.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
He was always in pretty
it's like
good
I'm getting
shape.
Older, so I got do it even harder.
I'm kind of feeling that nowadays. I think I should have done that more.
The older I get.
So this is a great, this is kind of like spurred so much. It's just this one episode. So we have, obviously, The Wrath of Khan came from this episode and Into the Darkness as well. So here we have some great, great episodes, great movies that came off of this one episode.
This episode is absolutely fantastic. Probably one of the highlights of the first season.
Absolutely.
Also toward the end of the first season of the show as well.
Yeah. No, it was great. I've always enjoyed it, and it's a great, I don't know, like a power play episode where you see, Khan obviously just a tactician and going against the wits of Kirk as well, so...
Yeah, like yeah. I like how Kirk in the episode says, it's like every time you talk in military terms.
Right, right. Yeah, exactly. And for good reason. He's just always trying to take everyone over, so.
Always the conquering dictator.
So, should we start off of how this all gets discovered and how Khan enters into this picture?
Okay, the scene is 1999. Gene Roddenberry was way, way over ambitious for how advanced we would get.
You know, I remember the 90s, and I don't remember a world war.
I don't remember the eugenics wars. I don't remember us making space ships that would take people out of the solar
system.
Yeah,
the DY-100 class was not something that happened.
Not something we saw in the 90s. Also, we didn't see... Actually, one of the interesting things in the show is I think they say planetary interstellar travel didn't occur until 2018. So let's hope that EM drive works and hopefully they can get that thing going by 2018 so Star Trek can be right on this one, guys.
Right, right. Well, they did mention the ship that they found Khan on was the DY-100 class was only for interplanetary travel only. So that means that was only like going within our solar system. It wasn't going to some far-off solar system. And that's what was confusing Spock when they found it, because they was like, this shouldn't be out this far in space.
And there was no record of this. They're all sorts of confused.
Right. So what they come across they obviously their sensors sense the ship up ahead. They're coming upon it, and it starts it's putting out Morse code. And you heard it was like, it's old Morse code. And
Kirk's like, yeah, we know.
Kirk's like, yeah. And she's like spelling out what they're saying. It probably says something like, do not approach ship, criminals. And Kirk's like, shut up, Yahara. I know how to read Morse code.
Why would they even learn that in the Federation? They basically said it's outdated.
It's completely outdated.
It's outdated now.
Oh, absolutely. But it's even funny that that's like they like know Morse code. Like, why do you know Morse code?
It's like what we learn in World War I.
And, you know, there's different versions of Morse code. There isn't just the English version. There's, you know,
Dewey Decimal System?
No, there's like French and there's like, you know, Russian and there's, you know, German. There's all tons of Morse code.
Klingon?
No, they did Morse code. I think it was more just grunting into a tube and hoping someone hears them.
So, good old grunting.
So they discover the ship. Like we said, it's an old ship from the 1990s, back at the eugenic wars of during the last World War, and they said that there wasn't a lot of history at that time. A lot of the history records have been destroyed, so it was kind of fuzzy. Where the ship came from, but it was called the SS Butney Bay, and that was
named after a penal colony in the good old Australia.
Australia.
How come he didn't have an Australian accent?
I think just named it after it. I don't think it came from Australia. So, but it was obviously a metaphor that even Kirk speculated reason why it was called. Spock called his conclusion completely illogical as well.
Yeah, Spock just disses his reason and then is like, I don't have any facts, so I can't make any observations myself. And we're just like, oh, how can you dismiss mine?
Yeah, right. So they beam aboard the ship. I guess when the Enterprise came in proximity, must have started engaging its atmospheric program to start.
That's
up.
Some pretty nice technology on a really old ship. Just something approaching. Like, what if they went near a comet? Oh, whoop, we got to power up our. Oh, it just went away.
It's like when girls get close to me, I'm like.
Good thing Faith is at a safe distance from via our subspace communications.
She didn't mean it.
Some things get lost in the transition.
Are you talking to me? No, you're not talking to me. Right, it's like at the mall, just girls walking by. What, you looking at? No, you're just looking
at. You should tell me that story when you were out with your kids.
Oh, no, yeah. That's a different story for another time.
That was funny.
Skipping my...
Sure. You don't want to tell an embarrassing story. That's fine. That's
all
fine.
Right, I'll tell the embarrassing story. It has nothing to do with Khan.
No. But it has to do with looking at chicks in the mall.
I wasn't even looking at chicks. I was sitting at a table, and I was having lunch with my kids. Was that Faye?
I said, I love how you're already defending yourself.
No, I didn't do anything. I just was... Oh, my God. So, anyways, I'm sitting at a table, and there was a girl sitting at the table next to me by herself, and she started talking to me, and I wasn't, you know, I was being friendly, and she was, like, just being friendly, and then she goes, so what's it like being a gay father? And I was like, I'm not gay.
This is why you don't ask whenever if they start talking to you.
And my feeling was just like, what gave you that impression in the first place? I mean, it's like, I went to art school for a couple of years, and I've known plenty of gay friends. It doesn't bother me whatsoever, gay people, but it was just, threw me off that she just assumed I was gay, and I'm like, what? It just, you walk away, you're like, what did I do that, And so anyways, I don't think Khan has these problems. Anyways, so
Khan takes it whether they want it or not.
Yeah, yes.
Man or woman.
Man, sure. Woman. Your hair.
All those young boys that are in Wrath of Khan, he's like the only one his age.
Yeah, I know. He did that. He bred that in the eugenics wars specifically.
There's 30 women in the Botany Bay. Mm-hmm. And he bred them all.
Oh, I love the women's clothes. And he was dressed in the women's clothes.
He was. Maybe he does have that same problem, maybe.
Yeah, he might. So where do we leave off?
Spock was scoffing at Kirk.
Yeah, and So they beam aboard the Botany Bay. Obviously, everyone's in these like cryogenic frozen capsules, and they're all asleep, and one starts awakening, and this is obviously going to be Khan that wakes up first.
It's a security measure. That way he can make sure it's good for everyone to get up, and he can just make himself go back to sleep.
Yeah, so if it was a comet that got close, he'd be like, ah, it's just a comet. Another damn comet.
Stupid comet.
So the revitalization process didn't quite work as well as intended.
And it turned into a microwave.
Yes.
He just like starts twitching, and Scott, it's like going to die in like seconds. It's just like... It kept them alive for all this time, and it's just going to kill them magically?
Scotty speculated it was dust.
So Kirk breaks the window of a microwave.
Well, this is Kirk. This is Kirk's...
Sticks his hand in there.
This is Kirk's... his general take on everything. He just, you know, he just will, you know...
Resolving it with force.
Yeah, that's Kirk for
you. He breaks it with the phaser, too. It's like... Psh!
Yeah, right. And so then he... They open the capsule. Khan is starting to wake up, and he asks Kirk,
How long?
And Kirk says, well, if you must ask.
Oh, Kirk brings with him his history officer, because no one knows history.
Yeah, and I love that. Before they leave the bridge, he goes, who's that historian? Givers? Or Guyver's, Guyver's, and because you know, give her something, something to do for a change. So he dismisses her even before she turns on the mission. Like,
it's so great.
He's like, give her something to do for a change. I've just got her on the payroll doing nothing. So
pretending to paint in her quarters.
Well, you figure she's probably just reading books and then painting the whole time because she's just a historian. How many historians can be on a ship? It's got to be a very low compliment.
Probably.
She'd probably be the one...
Easily the most useless crew member on the ship.
Probably, yeah. Yeah, because how much Earth history are you going to come across the Gamma 400 quadrant?
V'ger got out there, so I mean, maybe they could have run across another V'ger. And sure. In Star Trek 6, Star Trek 5, Claw... shoots down one of the other V'gers that didn't quite make it to the robot homeworld.
Oh, that's right. He did do that. And then also you have, the Nomad? They could have.
Yeah, just, Nomad. Yeah, I could have run the Nomad.
If you didn't boot her off the ship at the end of this, they would have.
They would have been in trouble.
You should have been like, that's Nomad. She would have told him immediately what it was. Anyways, she probably has paintings of Nomad in her.
The great dictator Nomad.
Yeah, exactly. Just a big metal cylinder.
That she wishes that she uses it for other things?
Yeah. Oh, no.
No.
Whoa.
Anyway, so Khan asks how long.
Come on, no one ever gets on my job.
Khan asks how long he's been asleep, and he goes, how long? And Kirk goes, about 8 inches.
And Khan's like, I've got 11.
Khan! So, no, but, so boys will be boys, and no, but Kirk does answer correctly. We estimate about
200 years.
Yeah, 200 years, two centuries. So, they beam him up. McCoy's doing his best patchwork job that he can do on a guy who basically just doesn't want to die.
Yeah, he didn't have to do anything.
At least he didn't take credit for it.
Exactly. That's good.
He was like, I didn't do anything. This guy just wants to live. So they bring him aboard. And
he's bred that way.
They're speculating. Kirk speculates with Spock. That he thinks that because it's called the Botany Bay, this must be a group of criminals. And Spock was like, there's far easier ways to deal with criminals than shooting them off into space
Yeah, but whoever said humans are logical, Spock?
That's a good point.
Spock is just like, oh, that's totally logical. It's like you're talking to a human.
Yeah.
How many times have you already said that humans are illogical?
Right. Can you put that in your equation? So, yeah, so there we go. We get so Khan's aboard the Enterprise. Bones is reviving him, and Kirk and Spock are speculating. This is and then during this time, Khan does wake up. And he steals a knife.
He steals a knife. He's like,
for some reason,
Bones has this old archaic shelf of like the display case of old things.
Makes no sense.
Are they stirrups? Are those like circular? It's a medical display. Are those like stirrups?
There's like a speculum sitting in.
Yes. Yeah. And then three knives, and Khan, of course, grabs the biggest one.
Not the smallest one. Yeah, and so he kind of plays possum there for a second. Bones goes in to check on him, and he puts the knife right to his neck.
And he puts his other hand around his neck. He's like, what are you going to do? Choke me or slit my throat? Pick one.
Yeah, right.
Bones is all like hardcore.
Yeah, Bones is like, just please kill me. I just don't want to be on the ship anymore.
This is where you slice my throat and how you do it. Can you get on with it?
Yeah.
It's better underneath the ear.
cut the carotid artery. I'll die faster.
Bones is like a badass right here.
He's totally
some action hero like in Khan's face.
Right.
Like, yeah, just do it.
And it got Khan's respect, so he let him live, and then he puts down the knife, and then he tells him he's on this Enterprise. Kirk shows up, of course. McCoy doesn't tell him anything that he just put a knife to his throat.
Never mentions it later either.
Yeah.
Might have been important to know.
Yeah, it could have been good for Kirk to know.
He might be crazy.
And what I found
just
so...
a little.
He's got space madness. So he basically decides... So he calls Kirk down to answer some of his questions. And this was interesting for me is that Khan won't reveal who he is until... Kirk tells him exactly all these questions, and then he just tells him, like, my name is Khan.
He's like, where are we going? Kirk's like, yeah, we're going to the starbase, which is the command central in this sector. And he's like, does this mean anything to you? And Khan's like,
maybe.
Yes. He's like twitching. He's like,
starbase?
Maybe.
Yeah, and he goes, Khan. Now, Khan is a very, very common name from anybody from India. So it's like, it'd be like, my name's John. Just John? Yes, my name's John. So Khan is about as common as it gets. So he's not giving
Thanks for being descriptive, Mr. Man.
Yeah,
exactly. And then as soon as Kirk starts asking questions, he's like, yeah, I'm tired.
I'm tired.
Doctor?
I'm tired.
Doctor?
And it was actually, I thought that was really well directed, just in that little bit where he, like, where McCoy goes, maybe give him a little break, Jim. And he's kind of like, Khan just does a look at Bones, and he looks at Kirk, and then he's, like, still playing. So I thought that was, like, just a good little directing thing to show that he's obviously, playing Kirk. So, but just his dialogue, the things he asks, like even he says, you can read the technical manuals to come up to speed. He goes, you've been very helpful. He's like,
he's just like, here's read everything about our ship. Here.
Well, Kirk is still working on the goodwill that this isn't some kind of like, crazy
homicidal maniac.
Yeah. But it's funny that just his dialogue right there, he goes, you've been very helpful.
It's like, I don't want to talk, but I'll spend hours reading technical manuals.
Yeah.
Because that's the easier than talking.
And, when Kirk goes back over the bridge, even Spock mentions how many technical manuals he's been reading. He's like...
By the time he's gotten back to the bridge.
Yeah.
He's just like, whoa.
I had to use the bathroom before I got up here. Sorry. But he's been ripping through the technical manuals like crazy. And basically... Khan, Spock speculates that he could be a product of the eugenics wars, and he could be one of these dictators that went missing or were unaccounted for.
Yeah, because there was 80 or 90 that went unaccounted for, and only 72 of the pods survived.
Right. So Kirk's putting two plus two together. And there you go.
And then the doctor, she comes into the into the sick bay. And
MacGyver's.
Faith, MacGyver's. Yeah, you want to talk about that, Faith?
Do you want to talk about the how she's enraptured by Khan?
How she embarrasses herself?
How she embarrasses all historians?
All women everywhere?
All women in general because, oh, God. Yeah, no. Think first.
Well, I actually think her first encounter was kind of like she was trying to be professional.
Oh, no, she wasn't even professional inside the Botany Bay.
She was ogling him nonstop.
She was like, he's not even alive yet. It's basically akin to necrophilia, what she's thinking about.
Wait, no, she wasn't thinking necrophilia.
She was like, he was not. He wasn't even technically alive
maybe
yet.
Not necrophilia, but she was definitely enamored with his unconscious body.
She was all about when the crawl in that tube.
Well, I have to admit, Khan has a very nice bod. You can't deny that.
No, you can't deny that. Khan is a very good looking man.
Yep. So, I mean, you, but
Ricardo Montalban.
But the but fact
she could have been professional.
She could have been professional. Yeah.
So she comes into the sick bay, and she wants to talk to him, maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe. Although.
Sort of. And Kirk sees right through it.
And Khan just like, I don't want to talk. I just want to talk about how ugly your hair is, and then I'm going to fix it. And then I'm not really going to fix it. I'm just going to make it worse.
Yeah. I think Khan was pretty smooth right here. This is where he kind of puts on the charm. And, you know, I mean, it's obviously not for every girl, but, you know, he does have a very forceful personality. Some girls like that. I haven't met many.
And apparently she's one of them.
Oh, yeah. She loves that. She's been waiting for a guy to do that.
Tell her what to do.
Yeah.
If she only had, you know, had been on the ship longer, had run into Kirk more often. I'm sure he would have been more than happy to tell her what to do.
Your hands on my neck and tell me how to wear my hair. Yeah, no.
Yeah, well. Different strokes for different folks.
I don't I even consider that one for a second. I don't see how that would flip with most people, but it's, I guess, culture of the day.
Yeah, but I think she was definitely, even Kirk has that, like, brief discussion. He's like, if I was to rate your performance.
It would have been, she's like, I know, no. It was bad.
I was bad. I'm a bad officer.
She's like, spank me, Captain.
I was a bad girl.
Spank me, Captain. Spank me. Don't let Khan do it, because I know he's going to do it so much harder. Because he's got the strength of five men. Oh my goodness. My fanny will be red.
He broke my tailbone.
Yeah, honestly, with how short that uniform is, all she has to do is lean over.
I know.
I was surprised.
Like, oh, my bad.
I was, whenever she sat on the bed across from me, I was waiting for him to kind of just turn his neck a little bit so he could see, but...
Wait a second.
Strategic hand positioning so that
She put her hands right in front of it. She's like, I was just waiting for him to turn his head a little bit.
He's crossed hand over. Yeah, though.
No. Wait a second. I have a question to ask. It just came up right now. Why the hell is she wearing a red uniform? She's a historian. She's not security, and she's not engineering.
Shouldn't she? Yeah, maybe
she
blue.
Should be blue?
I don't know. Maybe history isn't sciencey enough.
Well, as David pointed out earlier, she's the useless Earth historian.
Oh, hey, we don't have any more uniforms. Just try that. Uhura has a couple extra.
Useless people get red uniforms. Well, who was communications? She's not engineering.
That's considered communication. I mean, good engineering.
Oh, okay.
It's part of the engineering.
It's just, I don't know.
No, that makes sense because she knows how to.
She can, like,
you know, work the.
Use a telephone.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, there you go. I'm not going to step on that.
And the television.
Because I'm going to back away from that one slowly. Yeah.
Well, no. I'm going to back away
from that giant turd you left on the table.
And the television, because Khan is like, turn on the television.
Turn on the TV.
You're the communications officer. Turn on the TV.
Turn on the TV. Give me a beer.
You're trying so hard to be good.
All right, well, yeah, so... Oh, and I like the comment after she leaves. He goes, you know, McCoy turns to Kirk and goes, "It's too bad you wasted your career on command. You could make a fair psychologist." And Kirk just turns and goes, "Fair? Like I'd be amazing psychologist,
just like Troy."
Yeah. Yeah, Troy was pretty good, I guess, for what she did. She helped Barclay, right?
That's debatable.
All right. So.
So they have a dinner, and Khan goes over to her apartment to...
Her apartment. The apartment complex. her crew quarters.
her repurposed quarters.
She obviously has all the paintings of all the...
And she took part of her hair down, so she could accommodate him.
She did, actually. And he notices this. But then you also notice that she has done a little painting
of him in a turban,
in a toybin,
toybins.
Yeah, so he's in his. She's obviously showing her affection to him that way. That she's enamored.
Already drawing him.
Yeah,
naked.
So
can I draw you?
Yeah. She's like DiCaprio in Titanic. Can I draw you? They should have had that scene. That would have been amazing. Khan sits there completely naked on the couch.
They get the easel right in front of his junk.
And then they flash over to like Kirk and Spock and McCoy. Like, and where, like, where the hell is Khan? So they head off to dinner, and this is where they have like kind of like a formal dinner, and they're all dressed in their dress uniforms, and Spock is just
laying into Khan.
Yeah, just asking all these questions and hard questions and not really relenting, and Khan's defending his position, and also obviously Spock makes comments on how why would you leave at a time where they needed so much help for the idea of
why did you run? Are you a coward?
Yeah, well, the world was in so much trouble. And, he was like, we don't, there was a time of unity. It could be great possibilities. We were going to have unity and stuff like that. And
they never really did explore his motivations for actually leaving. They kind of talked about it, but then we never actually found out.
Well, I think basically what happened was that they didn't have a place on the planet, that and Khan took off with the spaceship, that they were going to, he was deposed.
Yeah, he said he wanted to find a planet to conquer and rule somewhere right. else.
And at the dinner, Spock and Kirk got him so riled up. He says, "We offered the world order," and Kirk goes, "We?"
Well, it's also interesting because with him wanting to go conquer a world, did they believe in aliens? They had first contact hadn't happened yet.
I don't think it mattered. They just wanted their own world to conquer, basic what Kirk gave him at the end. And he says we, and Kirk's like, Kirk goes, yeah, and Khan says, okay, you blew my cover. You realize it was that you know who I am, and I know you know. So
Khan storms off from dinner.
I grow fatigued again.
It's like, oh, I'm the weakest, 5 times stronger than a normal man you've ever met.
Right. And
what was me?
Yeah, so
I can't.
MacGyver shows up at his at Khan's quarters, and she says, "I'm here to apologize for how they treated you."
Oh, she's defending him,
and
he hasn't been a super dick to her yet, but it's coming.
Yeah. So why don't we paint a nice picture of what actually happens here, because Khan turns into a super asshole.
Want to set this up, Faith?
Oh no, you guys are doing a wonderful job. It'll be rather entertaining to see how you can paint this picture, because I might use words I shouldn't.
Well, so yeah, so I'm just trying to do it as well as I can.
Should I be McKenna or you be, or should I be Khan?
Should we just be blunt? No. Oh wait, role playing, yay. wait. Are we going back to the O'Brien and Bashir crap? Because if so, I'm backing away from this as fast as I can.
Well, unfortunately, there's not like a clear scene to like make a shot like that right now. But this is a prelude to, I think, what we see in a lot of bad relationships where a man is obviously a giant asshole, wife beater, and
this is just coming. This is just this
and she and the girl that's
and she wants it.
She's just not standing up for herself or has any self-respect whatsoever. I mean, it's okay. I understand on a standpoint where a girl is attracted to someone or has feelings for someone, but there has to be a point where you put the brakes on and say,
I mean, they haven't even known each other that long and she's just so enamored with him.
Well, that's the TV drama of anything. You have to fit everything within about 40 minutes, so they're just, she's hopelessly in love at first sight, kind of thing.
She's like, oh, can I, it's like, she's like, I just wanted to apologize. I guess I'll be going. And then she's like, oh, can I stay? And he's like, go or stay. Just do whatever you want.
Yeah, do it because you wish it.
And then she's like, okay, I'll stay
for a little bit longer. And he goes,
how long are you going to stay, huh?
How long? How many gracious minutes do you offer?
Into that corner.
Right. And then
now you must beg me to stay.
Yeah, he says. Like, please let me stay.
And then he comes and holds her hand, grips it tight, and makes her kneel in front of him.
And starts crushing it. And he says, open your heart. Will you open your heart to me?
And will you help me take over the ship? He's like, no, I don't want to kill anybody. He's like, are you questioning my authority? He's like, oh my gosh.
Yeah.
And she's like, I'll do anything you want.
This is obviously a guy who has a firm hold of what this woman, you know, and he does play her pretty strong. So, it's sad that MacIvers has such poor character, but whatever, you know, that's just how it is.
Like she's been raised.
I needed a way in.
She's raised in a Federation. She's got all this like peace and hope. And, you know, I mean, if it's a military organization, which it sort of is, you know, there are oaths and things you swear when you're in the military.
Mm-hmm.
And she's just like, it's gone. It's gone. I'll do anything you want, anything you ask me, including right. betraying everyone. I hold right. my friends, everything right. I hold
no,
dear.
Yeah,
all my values.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. It's pretty insane. So, so at this point, so they... Kirk, after this scene comes, and Kirk, they basically he confronts Khan and says what you know to figure out what's going on with Khan, and Khan basically lets him know that we're going to do pretty well in your yeah. society.
Because yeah, man has not changed very much. Man has not evolutionized as well as I would hope.
Right, exactly. So, they're basically he realized that Khan's going to try to take over as much of the Federation and more.
So
as
Kirk posts the security guard.
Just one.
One red shirt versus a Superman.
Yeah, yeah. And
this makes sense.
And because red shirts do so well in other situations, they lose to plants. You know,
right?
Well, you have
right.
such a high track record. Something should occur. Statistically, something should have happened in their favor by now.
Right.
Right.
Yeah. Exactly. So, so Khan, out of a sheer force of strength and will, forces the automatic door open and just throws
this nice little stretch thing first.
Yeah, and then just throws the guy.
Focuses the chi. Yeah, that was awesome. How far that guy went.
Yeah, that was actually pretty cool. Yeah, like, threw him down the hall. He's like, "Wah!"
And around the corner.
So, he turned the corner.
He turned the corner a little bit. He was rolling.
He threw around the corner.
Momentum.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. And Khan is loose.
And MacGyver's is, you know.
The goose is loose.
She's doing the Uhura from Star Trek 3, where she's like, you know, except a lot less sexily than Uhura did it. Like, getting the the transporter guy away from this.
You know, she's pretty, but it does not have any sexuality to her.
She's kind of dense. Like, every time she sees her, she's just got this kind of blank stare.
Yeah. I don't know what's going on with her. And why Khan's... Yeah. I mean, is she just a blank slate? Is that why Khan likes her?
I think so.
It must have been.
Actually, it makes a lot of sense for a narcissist, because a narcissist needs somebody who actually to kind of like
imprint themselves on.
Yeah, and
yeah,
they usually find someone.
To manipulate.
Yeah, so this might be a quintessential narcissist, and I don't know what the
antithesis of a art narcissist.
Yeah,
whatever that is.
Powerful people are narcissists, and most narcissists act like that. Which, yeah,
yeah. So there we go. They take over the. Transport room, and
Khan goes and wakes all the people up, and they wake up just fine. It was only his, you know, tube that was malfunctioning.
Yeah, yeah.
They take over engineering and lock Kirk and the bridge out. They can't open the doors. They start sucking the life support out from the bridge so they can take over the ship.
Right.
They don't
right.
kill him. They just knock them all out.
Well, I think he realizes that his bridge crew could be potentially useful because he could use them to obviously, you know, use the ship. I mean, the ship is obviously a giant weapon that he could use. So
to take over any such worlds.
Right, right. But, they cut off all the oxygen when he takes over engineering. Kirk and everyone passes out, and they throw Kirk in a decompression chamber. Why they have that in... at all. Actually, it's not the second. They've used G-compression chamber a couple times, I think, in the original series.
I don't remember what episode it would have been.
There was another one. I just can't remember right off the bat. But anyways, they so they're basically going to splat Kirk within decompression tape and implode his body.
And he's doing his greatest, like, suffocating impression.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
They Khan has Uhura turn on the TV, like we talked about earlier. He's trying to bribe them into becoming his men. And they're like, well, Kirk will die if you don't become our men. And then no one does anything he says. And MacGyver's the only redeeming thing she does in the entire 51 minutes of this episode is she's like, do I have to watch this, Khan? And Khan's all disappointed. He's like, I wish you would have had intestinal fortitude to watch your captain
die. With all
die.
That curry you fed me before, I think I gotta use the toilet. I'm not used to this spicy Indian food.
If you know what I mean.
Literally. I could say something right now, but I will not say it because it is going way too dirty.
So, we haven't done that before.
Yeah, I know.
It's the spicy Indian food, if you know what I mean. Anyway, she's gotta go.
Salty.
She had to do that before you let her back up after she put her on her knees.
Oh my god. I didn't think this episode was gonna go that bad.
The spicy curry. Anyway, that wasn't the one redeeming thing she did in the episode.
Oh, wow.
Right.
The redeeming thing she does is she excuses herself so she can save Kirk. I guess Uhura, like, breaks the remote and the TV goes out. And so she goes, even though, like, it's like the meter, last time we saw it was, like, so close to the bottom, Kirk should have been dead. Apparently, this is, like, in the next room. She goes and, like, knocks the guy out with her eyebrow. She had to go to sick, so she went to sick bay, which it might have been the other next door.
Might have been.
She gets a hypo spray. And then she knocks the Superman out, who's guarding Kirk.
Right.
Lets Kirk out, and she's like, don't kill him. I saved your life. Don't kill him. Don't kill him. Don't kill him, I swear.
And that's when Khan obviously sends Spock down next to get imploded into the decompression chamber. And then Kirk, Kirk takes out the guy who's got Spock, and the old dynamic duel is reunited, and they're going to start trouble again.
Oh, yeah.
So they release a neural gas into the whole Enterprise to knock everyone out. Of course, it comes into the meeting chamber.
Yeah, the conference room. Yeah,
and Khan bolts as fast as possible. He just, the minute he saw smoke, he just leaves.
He's like, yes. He's like, shouldn't we make a neurotoxin that's clear and odorless and.
Scotty's like, I meant to fix that, Captain, but
whoops.
And everyone gets knocked out. It's great.
It got mixed in with the fog machine. Sorry. Yeah. for those raves we have in the conference room.
For the disco era Enterprise in the motion picture. So Khan locks himself into the engineering room. Kirk goes to stop him down there.
And he tells Kirk the ship's on overload. It's going to explode in a matter of moments.
Right, and takes Kirk's phaser and just bends it into putty.
And then throughout most of this fight scene, Kirk steps out and his stunt double does most of the work.
It's hilarious and it's great because now
it's high definition. It's so blatant that it's not William Shatner for 99% of the fight.
It's not Makaro Montalban. It's some guy in a you know, black wig. It's hilarious. And yeah, so they're just bouncing off the walls in engineering.
I love it. I love the stuntman jumps up onto the grate, and then it switches to a close up, then it switches to Kirk up on there, and Kirk hugs Khan with his legs.
Yeah, yeah, got the old leg lock going on. Yeah, no, this is always a typical Star Trek thing. They always have a nice fight scene in the middle of engineering, just because I think it's
the biggest wide open set they've got. They just have, don't know what engineering is supposed to look like. They can have people running around.
I mean, sometimes they do it in the transporter room, but it's most often in engineering.
Oh yeah, because it's got the biggest
area. Yeah, so
it's a pretty cool set to do it on too.
Yeah, and
especially hugging the grate. It's like, oh yeah, we'll climb like a monkey.
And then during the fight, Kirk pulls out some lever and just beats.
Why is this lever like a blunt instrument?
I don't know.
Hard enough to beat a man who just boasted he's five times stronger than him.
I don't know.
And three whacks knocks him out.
Hey, you take a baseball bat to the head no matter
why. Why are there baseball bats in engineering?
In case this crew gets rowdy, Scotty has to put somebody down.
Scotty's in the hurt.
Scotty's
haven't
like,
you ever heard of tech support method number one?
I think what happened was Scotty showed him that he had this like lever installed in case he's got to beat somebody over the head.
I guess blunt weapons.
He's like, Captain, if you ever have a crazy homicidal maniac from the eugenics wars in my engine room and I'm not there, you use this. And if you ever a sexy green girl and it's in the engine room and I'm not there, you use this.
Kirk's like, no, I've got my own.
Are you sure, Captain?
I'll show her my captain's log.
Just use Betty. It's okay. You can touch her.
Which part of the engine vibrates the most?
And
oh God!
And if I'm not there, please calm me down. So he knocks out Khan. Khan's in custody, and they decide to put them. They have a little court hearing, and
they have a cute little bell. Kirk rings like 16 times. Yeah. It was kind of cute.
And by the time he's finished, they've actually gotten to Starbase 12. No, but so they get to they're going to maroon them on SETI Alpha 5, and Khan makes the comment of the Milton's like, have you read Milton before? And he says yes, and he says you know, they have this little like inside understanding, and Scotty goes, what are they talking about Milton? And he makes the comment that
better rule in hell than serve in heaven.
To serve in heaven. So this was like the idea that he'd rather be in charge of his own place, no matter if it's terrible. He'd rather have his own place to figure it out.
And MacGyver's, she's you want to be a court-martialed, or you want to go live in hell with your boyfriend?
I want to live in hell. This is like terrible. I mean, it's like, you know, she's just like setting herself up, and she doesn't even know what she's going to face.
Yeah, she does not survive.
No, she doesn't make it. Wrath of Khan, she does not make that that trip. How soon was it till City Alpha 6 exploded? It was like 6 months or something like that.
And it wasn't very long.
Captain Kirk never bothered to check on our progress.
Nope.
So they and they make the little comments box says, is this interesting to see what seeds you've planted today, what they might harvest.
In 100 years.
In 100 years. Well, we find out a lot sooner than that.
A lot sooner. Like, more like 20 years.
20 years later, we find out.
Lots of stuff happened, and that will be another episode.
Another episode, but yeah, but interesting nonetheless.
You are the most beautiful woman in the galaxy. You don't know how long I've wanted to tell you that.
But you're afraid.
Yes.
Of me?
Of us, of what we might become. Then you're inviting me in.
I'm not sending you away.
That's more than I expected.
Is it as much as you hoped?
To hope is to recognize the possibility. I had only dreams.
Dreams can be dangerous.
Not these dreams. I dream of a galaxy where your eyes are the stars and the universe worships the night.
Careful. Putting me on a pedestal so high you may not be able to reach me.
Then I'll learn how to fly. You are the heart in my day and the soul in my night.
We lost two more relays. I can't!
Shut up, kid.
While it's implied, and we heavily implied earlier, that Khan got the score, we are not going to go with the score today, because that's disrespectful to women.
No.
MacGyver's
failed big time for all women's sake. Oh, this is terrible. It's embarrassing, actually.
Faith, tell us how embarrassing this episode is.
Embarrassing enough that I wish it had never happened, but it's okay, because we can use her as an example of exactly what you do not ever do in this situation.
Except for rescue Kirk. That's the only good thing you did. So you can definitely rescue Kirk, but everything else she does, women do not do what this lady does.
Yeah.
Absolutely do not. At the very least, claim that you are using it as a guise so that you can better age your crew later, and then just leave it there.
Yeah,
Don't you know, swoon over a guy who may not be alive.
Don't swoon over a guy after he says this is how you should wear your hair.
You know, you just met and he's giving you fashion advice. You might want to stay away.
Or it might be gay.
Well, you know,
I didn't give that girl hair advice at the mall, just so you know. So,
I wonder what caused it then.
I don't know,
but
go on, Faith.
Rose colored glasses, right there.
Yeah.
Now you know.
Yeah. Don't do hair advice. Don't apologize for your friends when they're trying to find information. This happens a lot too. This happens a lot in abusive relationships or bad relationships, that your friends will come and say, like, you know, it will confront either your boyfriend, girlfriend, and say, "What's up with you?" And then you're like, "How dare you talk to my man or my woman that way?" And they get mad, and it's like, "No, I'm trying to look out for your better good, and obviously you don't have enough self-worth to see that, you know."
Or they're more concerned as to what might happen if their partner hears what was being said.
Right, exactly.
There's a certain amount of fear involved with that as well.
Oh, of course, but yeah. But here we go. Is like, you know, this is they're trying to figure out what's the deal with Khan, and obviously Khan's being shady. And then when she comes to apologize to him, he's extremely abusive.
You know, also don't hang around when the guy's like asking you to beg him to stay whenever you didn't really want to stay in the first place.
Yeah, see that for what it is and walk the hell away. In fact, you may even use hand gestures as you are walking away. I encourage this.
Absolutely.
Don't betray everything you've grown up to know and love.
Don't throw away your career for a guy either.
For a guy you met for, hours?
Love yourself first. Straight up love yourself first.
Yeah, absolutely.
If they're not treating you as well as you would want yourself to be treated, as well as you treat yourself, screw them. They're not worth your time.
But if your captain's ever in danger, yes, go save your captain. That's the one thing.
Absolutely.
That's the one good takeaway we can take away from MacGyver's.
Watch out for 90s, guys from the 90s.
Yeah, guys born in the 90s, bad news.
Bad news, bad news.
Yep. She should have shipped Khan when she had the chance.
Yeah, so MacGyver's big fail. Unfortunately, I'd like to believe that women had evolved too at this point, that they'd have a little more self-worth in the future, but apparently they still are having the same.
Maybe historians just have really low self-esteem in the future.
Yeah, maybe. Maybe if Kirk would have been a little nicer, to give her something to do, come on, yeah. Maybe Kirk would have been a little nicer, more supportive of her.
My quarters for your review later.
Yes, because this is all Kirk's fault.
Yes, yeah. No, but yeah, maybe if people were nicer to her, maybe she would have more self-worth as well, you know? I mean, it could be part of it. But yeah, it was sad. It was sad.
Yeah, poor woman who was so easily molded by a crazy man.
And got a worm up her ear and died.
No, she probably died from the horrible cataclysm that was SETI Alpha-6 blowing up,
or
shifting the atmosphere of, or shifting the balance of SETI Alpha-5, turning it into a desert wasteland devoid of life.
Or it could have been Khan going, "Eat these berries. Eat them for me." And she's like, "I don't know, they look kind of weird. Eat these berries." And then she chokes out.
They look like worms.
They're my dingleberries.
Oh. Ready for some more Indian food?
Spicy curry.
Oh, no. Oh, wow.
If you know what I mean.
Well, anyways.
I think they all caught what you mean.
It all ended badly, unfortunately, for all of them. Even if it wasn't for Khan's insane... wanting to rule everybody, obviously the planet City Alpha 6 exploded and threw the whole planet off its rotation and axis, so threw the whole planet to chaos. So it wasn't a good scene.
Any final thoughts on the episode, guys?
Still one of the better episodes of the original series. It produced a great villain, despicable altogether. So still one of my favorites altogether, no matter how abusive Khan is. But I think that goes in part and parcel, should I say, of a villain. You should loathe them.
It does, and it honestly, it just brings awareness to a longstanding issue for both genders, really. Because it's not really a woman issue as it is a cultural issue.
Of course.
And society becoming more aware as to what is going on. So I think I agree with Aaron on this. Like, all in all, this is like one of the iconic episodes of Star Trek.
Yeah, it's just real cool.
It's definitely iconic, and it's like almost like they knew they were going to make Wrath of Khan in 1967 when Spock is just like, oh, I wonder what's, you know, what seeds these will sow.
Yeah.
And it's just like, oh, it's just, yeah. It's almost like prophecy. It's crazy.
It is cool. And it was really well. It is masterfully done. I don't think they had a plan for that. But
Of course not.
But still masterfully done. Very cool.
Well, yes.
Well, thank you for joining us on this episode of Synthaholics, guys.
Be good to the ones you love.
Yep. Love everybody. Be kind to those around you.
And... be kind and love all and live long and prosper. Thank you all for listening. All my music is provided by Warp 11. You can find them at warp11.com or follow them on Twitter at warp11. You can find us at synthaholics.com. You can email us at synthaholics@yahoo.com. And you can follow us on Twitter at synthaholicduo. If you'd like to follow us individually, you can follow me at David_J_Duncan.
You can follow me, Aaron O'Brien, at Blackbird2004. Faith, where can they find you?
You can find me at Faith Hertzberg.
And please subscribe to us. We are on iTunes. We are on Stitcher. And if you have a chance, please rate and review so we can improve. And any feedback is welcome. And so we can make the show even better for you.
Live long and prosper, guys. At the stars we did gaze. The next morning he left stinking of gin. Well, McCoy, my boy, come mix me a drink. Before the night's over, I'll puke in the sink. And we'll cry till we laugh. And we'll both shit our pants. You're the best drinking friend I ever